Sure. Thank you, Jack, and the beautiful selection of songs. Thank you to each one praying throughout the week and for me and for the Word of God. With that, let's commit this time to the Lord in prayer. Dear God and Father, we thank you that you are the Lord of hosts, you are the God of all, and even the beauty of all creation, we can hardly fathom it. We can't even see the farthest star and still discovering. Father, we are in awe and majesty of your greatness, and yet you have rescued us as a speck on this earth, as dust. And we thank you for your salvation in your Son, the Lord Jesus, that rescued and did your obedient will and was an example to us. I pray your help now in going through your word, that your Holy Spirit would speak to our hearts, my heart, for fluency of speech, and also for your salvation for anyone that doesn't know you, that doesn't recognize you as Father and Lord God of our salvation, because there's salvation in none other but your Son, the Lord Jesus. In that name I pray, amen. So in getting started, I'm not a master at this. I'm still learning. This passage is on the Lord's Prayer. And in the early years of our lives, or my life, it was something set at the table for grace and became just something said and not always from the heart. And it wasn't until later on in my 20s that I recognized that I needed God's way of salvation, the Lord Jesus. And so I'm still learning to pray, and that's what we're going to get into. Luke 11 then, we'll read the first 13 verses. This is also a prayer that's referred to the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6. So starting at verse 1 in Luke 11. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine is in his journey, is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed, I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity he will rise and give him as many as needed, as he needed. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you, seek, and you shall find, knock, and it shall be opened unto you, and for every one that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Verse 11, if a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word, and as we get into it, first off, we need to realize the Bible is God's inspired word. It's his divine inspiration, and it's the only book of its kind, as we saw a video last week. And there's a phrase that comparing the Old Testament, New Testament, the new in the old is concealed and the old in the new revealed. And if you stop and think about it, it's prophecies. This is, makes it divine. God prophesied things many, many years before they actually happened. He said he sent his son, and he would send his son, and he did. He said he's coming back again. That was one of the promises. And he will. Even though it hasn't happened yet, it's going to happen. So first off, I'd like to get into the setting of the book. It seems like there's a break between the story from this morning of Mary and Martha, and it breaks in between chapter 10 and 11 here, and turn to John. We'll go to John 9, and there's a few verses there just to get us introduced. John 8, there's the woman taken in adultery, and then we have this famous verse in verse 32. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And it was asked on Friday night with the young peoples, what's just preceding that? Anybody? Young peoples maybe first? Verse 31 is preceding. If you continue in my word, and I find this is a theme through the Lord's Prayer, if you continue, and I've titled this, keep on, in the love of the Father. So it gets into chapter 9. We have the story of the blind man, born blind, and Jesus anoints his eyes with mud, and then tells him, go wash in the pool, Shalom. And then he does, he's healed. And we come down to verse 15 first, I guess. The Pharisees asked him how he got his sight back. Well, he tells them. Then 18, the Jews didn't believe Jesus was the Messiah. They were refusing, and they couldn't accept this blind man's testimony, so they get his parents in. Well, just they didn't want to give an answer that Jesus was the Messiah, so they answer verse 20, we know that he's our son, and he was born blind, but by what means he now seeth, we know not. Or what, or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age, ask him, he shall speak for himself. And it's just a parallel how we are born blind to God. We are born in darkness. And how that it is through Jesus that we have eternal life, eternal sight. So then we get on to verse 29. The Pharisees, they're saying verse 28, we are Moses' disciples. And we know that, verse 29, we know that God spake unto Moses, as for this fella, they're referring to Jesus, the Messiah that's walking right in front of them, we know not from whence he is. So the blind man that's healed now, verse 30, he answers and said unto them, why, herein is a marvelous thing that you know not what from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshipper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. They answered and said unto him, thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? and they cast him out. So the Pharisees here, they're offended by this guy's faith. And it's a walking, living miracle right in front of them. So verse 35, Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, said unto him, Dost thou believe on the Son of God? So here Jesus is very plainly to this man that I'm the Son of God. The man, he answered, said, Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? Jesus said unto him, Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. It's a long way to say, it's me. Jesus here is the Messiah. And this man recognizes, Lord, I believe. This is my prayer for all of us here tonight. If anybody doesn't believe, don't go home tonight without receiving, believing. And he worshipped him. So that's kind of introduction in between. Then we get the Good Shepherd in chapter 10. A few highlight verses I want to go through. In verse, he is the Good Shepherd. Starting at verse 7, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear him. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but to steal and to kill and to destroy. And we know who that is, the grand thief. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And we know that the Lord Jesus did that at the cross for us. Then on to verse 30. At this point, the Jews are just incensed, and they want to take Jesus in. Verse 30. Jesus says, I and my Father are one. And that just riles them up, because to them, this is blasphemy. Jesus is making himself out to be God. He says, I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. But Jesus escapes that. And verse 40, he went away again beyond Jordan into the place where John at first baptized, and there he abode. So going to the Jordan from Jerusalem, the setting is at Jerusalem, it'd be going east somewhat. And many, verse 41, and many resorted unto him and said, John did no miracle, but all things that John spake of this man were true. And many believed on him there. So that's kind of the introduction between the two chapters, 10 and 11. And we'll get back to chapter 11, verse 1. It said that this passage on the Lord's Prayer is one of the main passages on prayer, but there's lots more lovely and wonderful verses on prayer that we get through Paul's writings and the rest of the New Testament, and many examples in the Old Testament. And as mentioned, this is said as the Lord's Prayer, but disciples' prayer, and that, what does disciple mean? We are to go into all nations and make disciples. Well, it's to come along, and this is a focus that we experienced in New Tribes Mission, is you're coming alongside someone or a group of new people, a native group, and teaching them salvation through the gospel of presenting, and they use the chronological teaching, that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And then these people are living in darkness, and they accept Jesus, and then they need to be taught. And the rest of the New Testament, especially the epistles, tell us how to live. And so that's just as a break here. Many have been mentioned about the Elsin group. It was one of the last groups that we were in. We spent a lot of time there, and about 10 or so that we know of have accepted the Lord in this past teaching in August. So it's a big hallelujah. People that we were there, they helped us with physical things but didn't understand the gospel, have now heard and are coming to know and be disciples, be trained in how to live a holy life, an honorable life. And it's difficult because they have one or two wives in these places, and it's way different. They get angry, they'll kill the other person, that's murder. And I found it very hard in the Moy tribe. There's a guy called Piato, and he had killed somebody, and then he accepted the Lord. Wow, I found it hard to see him as my brother in heaven, because you got the memory of this person he killed. So, but we know Paul probably, maybe, possibly had people killed too in his persecution. So that would be something I could identify with the people. So it says Jesus was praying in this certain place, and this is possibly where he had gone to along Jordan there. And when it says a certain place, generally speaking in the parables, if it's talking about a certain, this is a real happening. So he doesn't give the name of the place here, but it does. John sort of alludes to it. And we also have this prayer that he says almost the very same things. There's a bit of word changing at the end about praying. And in Matthew it says, pray in this manner. So it could be in this model. And so I'll be taking it both ways, as a model, but also as Lord, teach me, teach us to pray. So being there possibly in the place where John had been, they use this phrase, as John also taught his disciples. Now, some things are popular, but not real good. Some things are real good, but not always popular. Well, this was good, and it's a pattern for us and something to go by. So, working in the Moy, there was, that's where Tim Watley, and some of you know Tim Watley, they were helping in the Moy tribe for a number of years. So we ended up helping with the runway up in there, and there's another national couple there. We were there one time, just on our own, no other white people. And dengue fever had come through, and dengue fever, it feels like you got a broken bone, but many broken bones. It is so painful, can be so painful, and some people take a long time to recover from it. You also get insomnia. Insomnia means you can't sleep. And with can't sleeping, you fight things that you normally don't have, like depression. So people have come out that got through dengue fever. Thankfully, both Diane never got it. We got malaria, but not dengue. But this lady, Anderson, or Andy we called him, he was an Indonesian, his wife got dengue, and she was, as I walked up to the runway, she was crying out loudly and praying, Lord, take away this pain. It was incredible. It just stopped me. I could somewhat identify, but to hear someone pray like that is amazing. Well, here the disciples hold off and wait. They're listening to Jesus praying. So they say, teach us to pray, and that's certainly one thing that I'm a student on. So I like to liken prayer to breathing, and just like every breath comes from God, it's like bread. We get into that later on. But air, we need air I don't do so well after about a minute without air, especially if I'm underwater. I'll take the next gulp in and be drowning. Well, we need to pray, and we need God's word as much as we need air, more than we need air. So it's also thinking of who we're praying to. Jesus said, when ye pray, say, our Father which art in heaven. So this, the Lord's Prayer kind of breaks down in a couple parts. The first part is kind of vertical, looking to God. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our ways. And then it gets into give us our daily bread. Well, this is what we need. So it kind of shifts there. So it's two parts. And both parts kind of break into three parts. So we'll kind of get into that. And so in thinking on our Father which art in heaven, it's a meditation on who God is, his holiness, his majesty, his purposes. And then we ask God for our daily bread. And daily bread, we kind of have an orderly eating schedule, or not so orderly now maybe, but three times a day you eat, at least every day you eat. And if you go without, Jesus went out without fasting for 40 days, well, you get hungry. But it reminds us of our repeated need for food and that dependency every day on God. Just like air, but not only for physical food, it's for my spiritual well-being. The word I like using Indonesian, semanga, my ambition. What do I get up for? My drive. What's your drive? What do you get up for in the morning? And so he is a source of all that, every provision, spiritual and physical, that you need, that I need. And it depends on God giving it to me daily, every day. And even in prayer, walking, like we read of Enoch, he walked and talked with God till he was 365, and then God took him. So God is the source of everything. And when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, was just referred to, Satan tempted him with, turn these stones into bread. And those, it's likened that these patties, if people make bread in Venezuela, they were about the size of a little pancake, and they could almost look like they were a bit of a stone. Well, what does Jesus reply? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. I ask myself, do I live this way? Jesus did. We have an example, a great example of that in the Lord Jesus. So we need God's word and prayer like we need air. Have you ever watched someone do without air? It's quite an experience. In Wamena, we were stationed in Wamena, in central of Papua, and that's where the flights all went out, so we were organizing the food, all the supplies for going out. And Tim Ingalls was in the Wana tribe and brought out a real sick guy, and his friend came along, Joseph, and the other guy started with Al. I'll call him Larry. That's not the real name, but some of you may have heard this story. And they took his blood test. He had his kidneys were failing. That's why he was so sick. So they told us he didn't have long to live. He won't live 3 days. So I went along with Tim and Joseph to visit Larry. And in the short time that I was there, he was talking away and conversing, and then stopped. And a few breaths later, he stopped breathing. Once he stopped breathing, then his whole body stopped working. Now that's how we need God, walking with God day by day, and his word to feed on. We are so dependent on that. John 6:27, labor not for the meat that perisheth, but for the meat that endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give you. For him that God sealed. And Also, we just read that Jesus is the bread of life, and that makes me think of sustenance. In Canaan, the people were promised a land flowing with milk and honey. Well, milk is for babies, but it speaks of sustenance, and honey speaks of sweetness, and we need both, and God gives us both. Sustenance and sweetness. Sweetness I liken to joy. So what sustains you? What sustains me day by day? Next, we get into get back to my notes here. So our Father, which art in heaven, this is addressed to God the Father, acknowledging his sovereignty. And he is Lord of all. And we see the fall colors coming on. We see the harvest coming on. God's made all that to grow for us, to have crops, to have food. And next phrase we get into, which art in heaven, that's it's a real fact. Art is a definite word. He's in there. He's in heaven. And our Father is, all of us have, that are here now, have a father. And God can be a father to the fatherless. And at this point, my dad passed away January. So you would say I'm fatherless, but I'm older. But there's orphans that have no fathers. And here, our Father is a term that's new. This is not known in the Old Testament. God was too holy. Jesus is the one that introduces here, our Father who art in heaven. And Jesus uses the word, my Father. But here, it's our Father. Everyone in this room is addressed as it were, our Father. And Jesus would be standing here, it's his Father and your Father. And this is really amazing. Later on, we read many times, other times in Scripture, like in the garden, my Father. Jesus calling out, my Father. But Jesus says here, our Father. And are you born of God? Have you received God's salvation, become a child, a son, a daughter of God? John 3, except the man be born again, they cannot see the kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven. You can be born again if you don't know how, by agreeing with God, receiving his way of salvation. John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power, the right, the authority to become a child of God. Have you become a child of God? And you can be. So as a believer becomes a child of God, and it's through faith, it's not by signing up a church membership. It's not by the good things that we do. It's through faith in trusting God's word. When I go out to the parking lot, I have faith. I have a key for the car that it's going to open the door. And when I put the key and turn it, the engine's going to start. If it doesn't, I'm in trouble. But I have generally faith that it's going to work. Well, his word is sure. There's no failure on his word. Absolutely no failure. And so through trusting in his word. Hallowed be thy name. And last week, I think the message in the morning, hallowed is set apart. Be holy. Make holy. And I think he referred to a power tool that was set apart for him in Home Depot. It was an example like that, something like that. Well, God is to be set apart, as it were, from our earthly possessions, to be hallowed. The first reference is in Genesis 2, verse 1 to 3, day 7. What did God do? He rested from his work, and he hallowed it and blessed it. So the three words are almost, there's a connection there. Rest, hallowed, and blessed. I mean, rest, blessed, and hallowed. That's They go together. Romans 12:1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, walking in the love of the Father, glorifying in your body day by day that you're sacrificing, surrendering, I'm surrendering to God our lives. So giving praise and honor to him who is so worthy of it, Romans 12:12. Then the next phrase we have is, thy kingdom come. And as we enter into walking in the Spirit, Galatians 5 tells us the fruit of the Spirit. We are to pray for the advancement of the gospel, like the Elsing team, many others. The work here in Listowel, in the group here, our day-to-day witness, our lives, but also in other ways as well. So Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the things before that, all these things will be added unto you. That's food, clothing, Jesus was talking about there previous. Also Romans 14:16, no, 17, the kingdom of God is not food or meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy. Am I experiencing this? Oh, I so often fail that. And just ask my wife, I grumble sometimes, or just trying to be positive or praising the Lord. Thy will be done, in everything give thanks. God's, we read that. God's not willing that any should perish. First off, it's the will of God that we abide in him, walk in him, to live a love-transformed life. And the problem is with in man, Adam rejected his will, and we came under Satan's ownership, and it is Jesus that came to correct that, give his life for us, redeem us, reconcile. Beautiful song we sang there, what a wonderful Savior. I praise him for the cleansing blood. What a wonderful Savior that reconciled my soul to God. This is our greatest gift that we've got. And it ends up in the closing part of the chapter. It's God's Spirit given into us, his Spirit of love. And reconcile has an R-E in front of it. So the word meaning is to be at peace. And that peace is broken in Adam, was broken. So to get harmony again. Well, God's wrath was against all of us, Adam, Eve. And that had to be dealt with. Well, we are made peace again, reconciled. It's a big word. I didn't know for a long time what that meant. To be in harmony again with God. Don't we want that? Don't we want to live in love? I love being loved better than being hated. So thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So in everything that, another one was our sanctification. It's God's will for us to be growing more and more. It was just spoken on a week or two back, sanctification. What's sanctification mean? Again, to be sanctified is to be made more holy, progressing. I haven't arrived there yet. I still get upset. Maybe as I was young, say in high school, I would use profane language. Well, thank the Lord, there's been victory over that. But there's other things to walk in. And God, when we're walking in the Spirit, we can, you can have the victory. There's victory in Jesus. So next we get into the other half of give us this day our daily bread. And we already touched on that, whether it's air or water or food, that all comes from God. And it's Like Israel, one day was provided the manna. After about a month that they got out of Egypt, they ran out of food. Well, they asked Moses, give us some food. And yeah, Moses couldn't provide a miracle, but God provided manna. Well, that was enough for one day. And that's how God provides for us. Whatever struggle, whatever thing we're into, God provides strength, energy, and enough for one day. And in Israel, on the day before the Sabbath, he provided enough for 2 days. And if they kept on the first 6 days left over, it went rotten. We know the story. So God is able to provide what we need for one day, each day, one day at a time, sustenance. Moving on then, give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And to me, this is a biggie. We need to almost look at Matthew, but we don't have time for that. Matthew goes on, and like the prayer starts with an introduction, it ends with a closing. Matthew closes with more on forgiving. And we need to have a forgiving spirit 24/7. And for those that we must live out of forgiving spirit to others, since God has forgiven us. And initially, we're forgiven the sin debt. That's the finished work of Christ in Calvary. And that's received in through faith alone. Then this is talking about parental forgiveness or governmental. So if we don't forgive others, this is like day-to-day things. For instance, I've had a speeding ticket, and that's forgiven me after 3 years. Now, yeah, I still had to pay the fine and got over it, but that's it's taken off my record. Well, these are day-to-day things that we have. There's an aspect of losing fellowship in Christ when we don't forgive others. And if we can't forgive someone, then we've lost fellowship with God, and we will be chastised. We will be disciplined. And into correction, for correction, to be brought back in fellowship. How? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I wanted to go to 2 Corinthians 2:7. I won't, but it tells that man that sinned so bad, some weren't forgiving him, and they were having a hard time. Well, it talks about Satan having a foothold, or I don't have the wording here, but got a grasp on you to hurt you, to destroy you. And we read in 1 Corinthians 11, how some slept, some died, or they were in sickness. So let's be careful about forgiving one another and be in fellowship day by day with God. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. God doesn't tempt us. James 1:13-14 talks, every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, but Satan had no part in Jesus. We read that in John 14:30. Life is filled with tests. Who likes tests? I didn't like exams in high school. And it's a test to see how you respond or do. My biggest part is my reaction to a test. Oh no, I got stopped again by those red lights. Oh, that's not such a positive moment. Abram was tested when he was tested of God for his love for his son. And Jesus went into the garden. And I gotta go there. Luke 22:27. He says, you have continued with me in my temptations. Verse 29, he says to the disciples, I appoint you a kingdom as my Father hath appointed me. 42, Jesus as it were, on his knees, asking God, Father, and this is where my Father, he's talking to my Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. That's also Matthew 26. So there's sources of temptation, Satan, the world, the flesh. And we know that scripture in 1 John 2, that the love of the Father is not in us if we give in to pride, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes. I've got to finish up here. Matthew includes forever. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. That's not here in Luke. It may have been a different occasion. And then the final two phrases, all this is continuing. God continues to be in heaven. God continues to give us bread. Everything is continuing. And this forgiveness, we need to be living it, continuing. Also, that's what the next two parables get into. A friend asks, and we've read it, I'll just zip through it. It says, verse 8, though he will not rise and give him, because he is a friend, because of his importunity he will rise. That's his persistence. Continue. The widow in Luke 18, 1 to 8, talks about she bugged that judge so much that he wasn't going to give her a fair judgment. But it was ruining his life, his health. Well, that's not what we're doing to God, but the idea is to persist. And so this guy, it says, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. This word ask, seek, knock, that's all continue. Continue asking, continue seeking, and continue knocking. And there's a sequence here. And it shall be opened. Verse 10, everyone that asketh receiveth. He that seeketh findeth. And he that knocketh, it shall be opened. And to me, per se, the most important is salvation, the gift of God's love, God's Spirit in us. The same thought comes back out in the next parable. If a son shall ask for bread of you, that is the Father, he will give him a stone. No. Or if he asks a fish, will he give fish, give him a scorpion? So God gives us what we need. Sometimes he gives us no. Well, that's, he gives us something better. So the scorpion, yeah, you've been bitten by a scorpion, it kind of stings. People can die from it, but God gives us sustenance instead of the sting of death. And if we know how to give good gifts, evil, how much more your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him. Now, the young people, this isn't talking about the Pentecost. This has the word the in front of it. And I understand from the study of Greek that the word the is referring to the person of the Holy Spirit. In the Greek, it doesn't have the in front of here. This is talking about our ministries, our gifts. And that was by Professor Sweet. But God is giving us gifts. And there's one passage in, I've got to close with that, Ephesians 4. Oh, I don't have it here. But it's talking about God gives gifts. Maybe somebody knows it. I thought it was Ephesians 4:26, but it's not. That's not. But Christ descended and he gave gifts to men. All of us have gifts, and he wants us to use them. We will be pretty sad, depressed, if we're not living for God and knowing we should be. So with that, I was going to close in with the song, but I'll just close in prayer. Our time is gone. So keep on keeping on in the love of the Father, and let's close in prayer. Dear God and Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for revealing it that's relevant to our day. And Lord, help us to engage in practicing it, living it out. We thank you for each one here, the example of life they live in you and their ministry of your word to every one of us, of living it out, being that light. I pray your help this week, Father, as we live out in our neighborhood, in our circles of friends, communities. You empower us, give us victory over the things that we struggle with. Lord, we pray your blessing now as we part, in Jesus' name, amen.